My name is Fawn Towery, and I was ordained in this church back in 2007. I can't hardly believe it's almost been 9 years. And this stole that I'm wearing, you all gave to me as a gift on my day of ordination, so I wanted to wear it and remember that day today. So I'm going to let you in on a little secret today. Pastors preach on topics that they need to hear, so today's message is no different. This message started in my head a couple of weeks ago when I was at the First Congregational Church Sassoon, Fairfield, which is a Samoan congregation. I was yawning, and I got caught yawning, and it's awfully embarrassing when the pastor gets caught yawning, but it happened. Reverend Sidney Fowler from FCC-UCC in Washington, D.C. explains that every church has a person that's lovingly known as the sleeper. You may have noticed them. In fact, you may be one of them. A sleeper is the one in the congregation who snuggles down into the pew, and after a couple of minutes into the sermon, the individual starts to take a snooze. Although I'm a little ashamed to admit it, I may have been one of these people in the past, because I just kept yawning throughout the service a couple of weeks ago. Now, some preachers may not appreciate these snoozers. There are ministers who have techniques to combat sleepers. Some preachers pump up the volume to shake the sleepers from their slumber. They add a bit of drama or they knock on the pulpit to wake them up. Our pilgrim ancestors had a technique where they would use a feather on the end of a long piece of wood to tickle their noses and wake them up so they couldn't sleep during church. But sleepers are sleepers. You can hear the gentle or not so gentle breathing, perhaps even the occasional snore. They have gone to the land of sweet dreams. Sleepers have included all types of people. Parents, preachers, politicians, healthcare workers, students, teachers, laborers, unemployed folks, church leaders, visitors. Yet the sleepers are doing exactly what they need to do. They are taking a breather. They're slowing down. Rest. So Pastor Sidney prays for them. God bring them rest. So this morning, I want to honor the sleepers and those of us who long to be sleepers. I value the need to take a breather. Sleepers and nap time in general are a frequent topic of conversation at my house. My dear husband, Lewis, frequently recalls the days when I used to work at hospice because I would take long naps on the weekend. I also tended to go to sleep early, and he would be able to stay awake and watch movies while I slept away. I don't know why exactly, but somewhere in the past 5 years, it came to be that I can no longer take naps unless I'm really tired. I do admit to the invention of what I term the pastor's nap, which is a nap that happens on Sunday after I'm done preaching. Otherwise, I'm like a little kid. I don't want to go to sleep. There's too much to do. There's too much to see. I don't want to take a nap. Who wants to sleep the day away? Not me. And yet, there are folks among us who feel a bit weary, a little burned out. They want to take a breather. Perhaps the summer schedule, students being out of school, family vacations, they all inspire us to declare the need for a season of rest. There's a lot of work to be done in our small church. The bookkeeping, building maintenance, our donations to the food bank, music preparation, cleaning, the list just seems to be endless and possibly overwhelming. Not to mention the jobs that you go to during the week and then the extracurricular activities outside of the church. For some of us, there's a long and everlasting journey to recovery and sobriety. For others, it is a tough time of working through major life changes and losses. And others amongst us don't have work at all, and the stress of getting by is almost unbearable at times. Considering all of these things, I totally understand the need for a holy nap. But before some of you nod off this morning, let's take a moment to consider today's New Testament reading so we can better understand what rest might mean for the people of God. Today's text comes from the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians. The letter addressed to Christians who are living in a town called Corinth. Paul's letters are dealing with the conflicts in Corinth. In his opening paragraph of the letter, the Apostle Paul directly states, "Let there be no dissension among you." And then, for two whole letters, he addresses all the problems and cliques amongst the people. There were conflicts about worship, whether or not women should wear veils, whether they should eat food that's been sacrificed to pagan idols. There were conflicts about whether Paul was a true apostle or not. Some suggested that true apostles had actually walked with Jesus in the flesh, whereas Paul merely had a vision of Christ on the road to Damascus. Others suggested Paul was a genuine apostle. So this Corinth congregation had some cliques and some conflicts. Paul's primary message was that the Christians were to be reconciled to God and to each other in the midst of these conflicts. The Apostle Paul said, "When a person is in Christ Jesus, they become a new person. The old qualities in them pass away." When a person is in Christ, that person becomes controlled by Christ's love, controlled by the love of Christ. In fact, that person becomes the goodness of God in human form. When a person is in Christ, then no longer do you live for yourself, but you live for others and Christ. No longer do you regard other people from a human point of view. You are able, or you try to see them, as beloved children of God. There is a new person inside of you after you accept God's message of reconciliation. When you are in Christ, you help God by serving others and being the hands and feet for God in our world today. Sister Teresa of Avila, who lived in the 1500s, wrote a poem entitled, "Christ Has No Body." I'd like to share it with you now. That sums up this idea. "Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours." So we are called forth to be ambassadors for God. But how do we go about doing that? I think we have to take our cue from God, who's a resting God. Sure, God is creator, but God is also a God who rests. In those first chapters of Genesis, in a six-day flurry of activity, creating darkness, light, water, plants, animals, and giving breath to people, God declares it all good. And then God takes a big yawn and blesses the seventh day, and God rests. God found time to do what I seldom allow time for, time to take a holy breather. Yet this rest is more than not working. It definitely isn't about getting rested so we can get energized to work harder and harder, to produce more and more, to acquire more money or things, or to get more work out of others. It's not simply about relaxation or pleasure. Sabbath rest in the Bible is tranquility, peace, and a stillness that draws from trusting and soaking up God's own creative realm, rather than trusting in our own self-sufficiency. Sabbath rest means to celebrate the creation of the world, and as the theologian Herschel said, to create the seventh day all over again. A day of rest, a day of freedom, the wonder of a holy time. Keeping Sabbath rest is about aligning our lives with God's holy, blessed, creative purpose. For that reason, God commanded people to remember and to observe the Sabbath. During the time when the Jews were exiled into a world where their culture and ways were challenged by others, Sabbath rest became more and more important to the Jewish people. Even after exile, as they sought to hold on to their holy and chosen identity, the Sabbath would keep them grounded in God's creative and just intent. God also calls on the Jews to not step over or trample on the Sabbath by pursuing selfish interests or exploiting other workers. Instead, the Jewish people were called to delight in the Sabbath. This rest reminded the Jewish people that God was their creator and the creator of our world. Rest was a critique of a world dominated by those who oppressed them. Rest was also critiqued their own abuse of others. This was a really interesting idea to me. When we take time to rest, we have the chance to reflect on our lives and realize how we are treating others. We may inadvertently harm someone or have unrealistic expectations of others if we are not taking care of ourselves. Just because one person chooses to be a workaholic does not mean that everyone else should give up their priorities in order to put work first. Jesus observed Sabbath rest and was Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus knew how to take a holy breather. Remember all those stories where Jesus gets into trouble with the religious leaders for the way that he observed the Sabbath? Religious leaders accused Jesus of breaking the holy Sabbath because he gathered grain for the hungry disciples. Then he healed a man with a withered hand on Sabbath. To those leaders, he was doing work that was forbidden on the Sabbath. And in the Gospel according to Luke, on the Sabbath, Jesus lays his hands on a woman who was bent over and disabled for more than 18 years. Again, the leaders accuse him of working. But Jesus was a faithful Jew who understood the holy, blessed, and creative rest of God. He shared in the creative intent of God, or as Herschel might say, he created the seventh day all over again. The day of Sabbath was at the heart of how Jesus lived out the vision of the realm of God. Okay, so it's been a little bit of time. Perhaps you've dozed off a couple of times. All this talk of rest can make a person sleepy, although I think I'm proud to admit that I haven't yawned yet today. This church is a safe place. You are welcome here, especially you all who are weary. Have a holy rest and join us in God's resting on this Sabbath. May our holy rest rejuvenate and nourish us so that we may be God's ambassadors in the world, the hands, the feet, the eyes of our God in the world today. May we go forth in solidarity with the God who rests. Let us not try to control and fill every minute of every day as if the world depended only on us. Let us engage in acts of justice and love, but let a holy rest help us to discern God's ways and to nourish us for the journey. May we use our holy nap time to rejuvenate us before we go out as ambassadors of God. Let us bless the world with God's rest. If you will join me in a prayer, I would like to conclude today's sermon with a prayer for rest. Dear God, please help us to rest. We place our list of things to do in your hands. We place any thoughts about how things should be different in your hands. Right now, just for a moment, I allow things to be exactly as they are. I allow myself to be exactly as I am. And so we all rest. Amen.